Hello, this is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles. And this week we're back in the book of the Gospel of John, and we're at the close of chapter 2. We're getting ready to go into that wonderful passage in John chapter 3 when Nicodemus would come to the Lord Jesus Christ by night. And we see the wonderful Gospel passage in John chapter 3. But we need to back up and begin in chapter 2. And as we look to the Lord in prayer, we'll begin then at verse 23. Father, we thank you for this chance to open your word again. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his willingness to come to this earth, to leave glory, and to be obedient unto thy perfect will. Father, we thank you that he died on the cross, and he then rose from the grave, and he is now has been ascended back to heaven and seated at thy right hand. We trust in him as the only payment for our sins. We do pray in his precious name, asking for your help today. Amen. Chapter 2 of John, let's look at verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So here we see in John 2, the closing verses of this passage, after we, in recent weeks, looked at the time the Lord had gone to the temple and had cleansed the temple. As we pick up in verse 23, the interesting thing that stands out to start with is that it spoke about how many believed in his name. But it was based upon the miracles which Christ had performed. So we see here, we might say shallow belief. Some people may have legitimately believed because of what he had done. We see that in the scripture, in the gospels. But some, it would be based upon some outward, emotional, some type of what am I getting out of this kind of a belief. We see people today so often, they want something exciting. They want something that draws a crowd. They want to be part of something. They want to see something great and spectacular. But we see here that the Lord knew where to draw the line between which ones realized his message, realized who he was through these miracles, and those who were merely just wanting to follow something exciting. For when it says here in verse 23 that many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did, notice in verse 24, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them. The word commit there is the word in the original for believe. So as it said they believed, because of the miracles they saw, the Lord did not commit himself or believe because he knew all men. In response to their supposed belief upon the miracles, he did not commit himself to them. But friend, the Lord, what we get from this passage, the Lord knows the very thoughts and intent of the heart. Many people will, on the outward, say, oh, sure, I'm a Christian, when really they're just following some little system or some little excitement, you see. But the Lord here could cut to the quick. And the Lord here was able to know if their belief was a true, legitimate belief. Because when some believe, many, it said, believed in his name when they saw the miracles. It says that Jesus did not believe or commit himself unto them because he knew all men. You know, it's very interesting if we turn to the book of Hebrews and we turn back there to chapter 4, pick up at verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Notice that, the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When we think of the thoughts of a person, we think of the thoughts of someone's mind, but here it says that he is a discerner. The Word of God is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Interesting phrase, isn't it? Not the thoughts of your mind, but the thoughts of the very heart. The heart of a man, the very inner being and essence of a person, he knows the very thoughts and intents of your heart. Well, notice here it speaks of the Word of God as even, as piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. You know, when we think of how the Lord would say later in John chapter 4 of how the true worship is in spirit and in truth. Well, there's a difference between spirit and soul. Soul is the very emotions, the very seat of the person. Now, God has given us a soul, but much today people call worship what is really just soul worship, something of the emotions. But God said, the Lord said in John 4, that the hour has come and now is when those that worship Him will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not soulish, not will worship, but in spirit. See, the Lord knows the difference between the soul and the spirit. Something that is so fine a line which you and I cannot hardly draw. But He can see and discern the difference between the soul and the spirit. So in ones with desire to worship in a soulish manner, just by the flesh, the emotions of a person, the soul, the Lord says that the hour has come when we would worship in spirit and in truth. He knows the intents of the heart. So we see here in John 3, Nicodemus comes on the scene. Very familiar passage. And I think it's quite fitting that as Nicodemus would come in to the presence of the Lord in that wonderful passage about you must be born again, it is precluded by this one statement here. Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men. This one, Nicodemus, was coming onto the scene. He came by night. He came as a religious ruler, but he was told he would not even see the kingdom of God except he be born again. You see, being religious is not the answer. The answer is being a new creature in Christ, being born again. Even Nicodemus had to be told this. But at the end of chapter 2, we see that the purpose that is stated to us is that Christ knew all men. He knew what was in man. So when we look at some passages, let's just get the very idea indwelled in our minds and our hearts that Christ is God manifest in the flesh. He is all-knowing. Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And then if we move on to Jeremiah chapter 17, we see in verse 7, Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. But then when it goes on to verse 9, it says, The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The answer is in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The Lord knows our hearts. Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. And then when we move over into the New Testament and turn to Revelation, the seven churches that represent the different time periods of the church age, and we see the church at Thyatira, when they were spoken to, the Lord said, "And all the churches shall know that I am He which searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto everyone according to your works." Then we turn to the book of Acts. If you remember in chapter 5, there was a man and his wife, Ananias and Sapphira, and they sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. 5:3 says in Acts, "But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land, whilst it remained? Was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, and hast not lied unto men, but unto God?" We see this one, Ananias and Sapphira, both were dead on the scene because they had lied to God. We see that God knows the heart and the intents and the thoughts of our hearts. You see, it wasn't that this man and his wife there in Acts 5 was obligated to give everything of what they sold. The point there was that they had sold it for a certain price, gave a certain amount, and said, "Oh, well, we only got such and such amount for it." They lied on the amount that they had, so it would look like they were given all, that they were given more than a higher percentage than they actually were. It wasn't how much they gave. It was the fact that they lied about it. But they were, by a great, serious example here in the early church, an example of lying to God. They were struck dead on the scene. The man came in and tried to get away with this very thing that we described, and then later his wife came in not knowing what had happened to her husband, and she told the same lie, and she was struck dead as well. The Lord knows our hearts. What an example of the seriousness of lying to God. So when we come to John chapter 2 again, we're not speaking about selling land and taking money to one of the apostles, but we're talking about being honest in our hearts before God as far as our soul and its destiny is concerned. Here we see that many believed in his name when they saw the miracles, but the Lord did not believe or commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. We know by the word of God that God is all-knowing, he's all-powerful, and he's all-present. So we see here, when it comes to the very thoughts and intents of our heart, no one can hide it from the very Lord of glory. Well, let's look also at the book of Luke while we're here in the Gospels. Luke chapter 7, here's another example. Starting at verse 1, we see, if you'd like to read the passage, there was a centurion. His servant was ready to die. He was sick and ready to die. And this centurion went to the Lord. In verse 6, Jesus went with them, and he was not far from the house. The centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, "Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter unto my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And they that were sent returned to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. So we see here, this man, he realized, this centurion, this soldier knew of the all-knowing and all-powerful ability of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he said, I'm not worthy to have you in my home. You don't have to go. We're close enough. Just give me the word, and I'll know that my servant will be okay. He had faith that the one that he had sought to heal his servant truly was all-knowing and all-powerful. He didn't have to even see the man. What faith by this centurion. He went to the great physician in faith. So, my friend, today as we're closing out our message for this morning, let's apply that to your spiritual need. Are you willing to go to this one that is all-knowing, the one that knows the very thoughts and intents of your heart, the one that is all-powerful, the one who left glory to come and die upon a cross of shame, who is now resurrected and seated at the right hand of the Father? The Lord of glory has paid for your sin. Are you willing to receive him as the only satisfactory payment for your sin and seal your destiny in glory with him? That's why we call this broadcast the Two Roads and Two Destinies Ministries. There is no middle ground. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for joining us today. For Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody. Join us next Sunday morning. Thank you.